Well, I want to catch you up where we are as a church. And I mean like Big C Church, all the churches around the world who are Christian churches follow this rhythm and this calendar, right? Our new year started in December, the first week of Advent. And we have that whole time in December to discern, to pray, to think about, to recognize what is to come. And then on December 23rd and 24th here, we celebrate Jesus second early on the 23rd. It's fine. It's already in Christmas Eve in Jerusalem. On the 24th, we had 10 worship services that celebrated the birth of Jesus. And here we are in this secular world. We say, Happy New Year! But our new year had already begun. And this is what we call Epiphany Sunday, which is recognizing and celebrating what that gift means to us. What do you do with said gift? Will you pray with me? In the silence of the stars, in the rolling of the hills, in the heaving of the sea, we see you, Lord. In the voice of a friend, in the chatter of a child, in the words of a stranger, we hear you, Lord. In the calming of our minds, in the longing of our hearts, we feel you, Lord. I ask that you allow me to move aside and let your words be spoken. Amen. Epiphany actually means to reveal oneself, to be made known. A lot of Epiphany Sundays, we talk about the wise men, and we're going to get there, but I want to start back in Isaiah. I want to talk about what this Christ child born in a manger, in the middle of chaos, honestly, means for us in 2026. I almost got that wrong. What does that mean for us today? I was thinking about this sermon, and on Christmas Eve, we talked about a promise being revealed, and within that promise, right, that was the gift of Jesus, there's many other gifts that you might have received. Many of the pastors use the illustration of a basketball hoop. I've given our boys a basketball hoop. When you give said basketball hoop, it comes with some expectations around it that we might actually maybe give them a basketball. And when they ask if they can play in the basketball hoop, we say yes. Because giving them just a basketball hoop seems a little cruel, right? So we have this gift of baby Jesus. What does that mean today? Dan and I are working on our 26th year of marriage. And back at the beginning, we struggled a bit with pregnancies. We'd been pregnant 5 times, and we have 2 boys, and they're amazing, right? Amazing. Most days, especially Tuesday, when they're both back in their apartments. They will be amazing. But I remember praying so hard for these babies. And then I remember 3 weeks in, Cody Myers had been born, so this was probably end of October. He was jaundiced. We went back to the hospital. We were close to the NICU. We get back home. There's a home health nurse that's coming in. And this was like the first week where I was home alone. Husband had gone back to work, and I had this thing. And he cried a lot. He made messes that, like, something that size, just, like, it blew my mind. And I remember one night at, I don't know, I'm going to guess, like, 3 a.m., I'm rocking said crying baby, and I'm thinking, this is what I wanted. This is what I wanted. What do I do with it now? And that's what we're going to learn about this gift of Jesus. I don't know if any of us actually said, I want baby Jesus for Christmas, right? People used to think I was somewhat of a martyr. My children growing up, they would get something they wanted, something to read, something they needed, and something to wear. Plus, they didn't need anything, right? Like, let's be real. And I used to always say, well, baby Jesus only got 3 gifts. Like, you're getting 4. Consider yourself lucky. So we prayed for this, now what? Right? We prayed for this, now what? We're going to talk about the difference in loving something and being responsible for something. I honestly loved the idea of having a baby. Then I had one, right? And it changes that, and the love is true and big and real, but it comes with responsibility. I want to start in Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 6. And it starts about light. And y'all know how I feel about the Christmas Eve light, right? I get to watch the light spread across the church, and then I get to watch y'all leave as beacons of light. So focus on that word. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. I will have to say, even though my mom's here, I'm still going to tell this story. As a child, through probably teenage years, I would get risen with this, arise and shine and give God the glory, glory. And it was, my mom has a much better voice than I do, but it was saying like that no matter what. And so as I read this scripture, sometimes I twitch a little bit with rise and shine. Love you, Mom. So let's start again. Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and a thick darkness of the people. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They'll all gather. They'll all come to you. Your sons shall come from far away. Your daughters shall be carried on the nurse's arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, young camels, and all shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and proclaim the praise of the Lord. Isaiah 60, 1 through 6 is talking about this light, this gift. And it talks about the chaos, that God doesn't wait for perfect moments to bring in hope, to bring in light. God brings in these moments in the middle of exhaustion, in the middle of worries, at 3 a.m. when you're holding the gift you wanted so bad, yet you have no idea what to do with. God's work is bigger than us. And we go to Matthew, and here's the story of the wise men, right? So we have the time of King Herod when Jesus was born, and these wise men from the east come to Jerusalem. So there's a certain staff member, and I didn't get said staff member's permission. But if you're ever in the sanctuary around Christmas time, there's a nativity scene underneath the tree. And this said staff member will move the wise men down the hall almost every week. And you'll see somebody get frustrated and move the wise men back to be a part of the nativity scene. But he's actually right. The wise men weren't there. They weren't there yet. Yet they're an important part of this story. So here we are in Matthew 2. And the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, where is this child? We observed his star and its rising. We've come to pay him homage. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. and calling together all the chief priests and the scribes, they were like, "Where is this Messiah?" And they said, "In Bethlehem, in Judea, as it's written by the prophet." You see how this Isaiah scripture keeps. "And here you are, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, and by no means are you the ruler." So then he called for the wise men, and he learned exactly when that star appeared, where it was, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and check on this child, for I would also love to visit the child," right? And so they went. When they saw the star that stopped, it says in scripture here in verse 10, when they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And then I'm just going to skip to the end. They had a vision, and they chose to go the very, very long way home to avoid King Herod, to avoid telling him where this child was. But more importantly, they just didn't see the light. There's a difference in seeing the light and following the light. So let's go back to this gift. You've been given the birth of Jesus. It's a gift. You can put it on your mantle, you can put it in your china cabinet, or you can follow the light. You see, these wise men could have seen the light, prayed to the light, joyful about the light, and gone about their business. But they chose to move. They chose action. This is what happens between Christmas and Easter. There are some people in the church world, we like to call them Christers, who like to visit church Christmas and Easter. You see what we did there? Christer. Yet the important stuff happens today, and the next week, and the next week, and the next week. There's a difference in seeing the light and following the light. And that's what these magi did. The star gave them directions, not answers. How does that equate into your faith sometimes? Gives you direction, not solid answers. I've yet to get a text message from God after I've prayed, or a billboard. But I do have a sense of peace sometimes and a sense of direction on where to go. Ephesians, this is what I think. This is why it still matters today. And we continue in our gospel, Ephesians 3, 2 through 6. "So surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given to me for you." This is Paul speaking to Gentiles, those who are not Jewish. "And by how this mystery was made known to me by a revelation, I wrote in a few words, reading which will you perceive my understanding is the mystery of Christ. In former generation, this mystery wasn't made known to humankind, and now it's revealed by the Holy Spirit and the apostles and the prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles have become fellow heirs." You are family. "Of the same body, the sharers of the promise in Jesus Christ." Epiphany, what I said at the beginning, the actual definition is about revealing, revelation. So what do we do? And here Paul starts. "This mystery was made known to me by a revelation, a revealing of who Christ is." Gentiles are now fellow heirs. Epiphany is not an accident. It is a part of God's will. It is part of God's plan. The beauty of the gospel, for me in particular, is rereading the stories and thinking, who have I been this year? If we think about, we go back to Luke in the beginning and the birth of Christ. Was I Mary? Was I Joseph? Was I the shepherds? Was I the wise men? Each one of the parts of this story help us understand the fullness of what God has called us to do. And this Epiphany Sunday reminds you that last time you were here, you were holding God's light in your hand. It was started from the Advent wreath, from the white candle in the center, the Christ candle, and it spread throughout our church. Over 8,000 people held the light in this place. And it's just a little bitty light. It's just enough light to break through the darkness. It's just enough light to show you the way. Yet, when we all gathered together, the lights of the church went dark. And was it dark? No. It was full of the light. But I really do right now want you to separate the light that you held versus the light of the community. These wise men took the light, looked at it, followed it, and did what was right, even though it was hard. They traveled a long way. It brought them joy. They visited the child. Mary was still wondering to this day why they brought frankincense with his ascent for death. But there's a whole theological context to that, too. But, you know, they visited Mary. Did Mary want them there? I don't know. Probably not. But I bet she was gracious in the moment. They saw the light, they followed the light, and then even after that light brought them joy, they went home the hard way, because they knew that light needed to be protected. You saw the light. You held the light. Do you just put it away? Or do you follow it? Do you use this story to be the center of all that you say and all that you do? Listen, I kind of had a grumpy New Year's Day. Our date night plans got canceled, blah, 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 blah. And I just woke up like angry Kim. And I decided to go on a long walk. And I went on a long walk, and believe it or not, usually on my walks, I don't listen to Christian music. I listen to, like, fun, jazzy music. And I needed Christian music on this walk. And for an hour, I actually took our new dog, who's on a weight loss journey, and she went almost 55 minutes with me. The girl could barely walk 10 minutes when we got her. She's a chunk of love. But we went on this walk together, the click-clack of her feet, the song that we're both there. I was listening to Mercy Me, who is one of my friends' bands, and I was listening to them, and this past album, their Shannon's dad died. And so Bart was very close with Shannon's dad, and this past album is kind of darker. And there's this one song that said the heartbroken hallelujah. It's one of my favorites. And I really wasn't heartbroken on New Year's Day. I was grumpy. But also, there's times when praising God just feels so hard. And it was talking about following the light, centering yourself back to the middle, back to the light, not this bright, obnoxious light, this little light that can show you just enough for you to move forward. And I came home from that walk. Look up that song, Heartbroken Hallelujah. I love it. It talks about praising God on even your bad days. Praising God even when it's hard. Because you can have a heartbroken hallelujah. And the light is what gets you to move to that next step. So Epiphany Sunday, Saturday, is all about what's revealed, what's shown, what's made new. And what was revealed to us is love, is light, is hope, is somebody who can carry us through and through each and every day, even on your heartbroken hallelujahs. So when you need it, light a candle. Take a minute. Take a breath. Remember that the Magi just didn't stare at the light. They moved towards it. When we gather on Christmas Eve, we're not just one light, we're many. That's powerful. That's strong. That's hopeful, even on your heartbroken hallelujah days. So don't just look at the light. Choose to do something about it. Each and every single one of your steps is going to be different. Each and every single one of your faith walks is different and unique. And that's good. Because when we gather it all back together into what was revealed to us, it's back to the core. It's the Christ child, a Savior who's humble and kind and real. Will you pray with me? Dear gracious and loving God, as we come to your table, we come to your table knowing that you prepared this meal for us years ago. It all started with a simple, humble beginning. And it ended in a painful, horrid death. Yet each and every day that you are with us, we are reminded that you are good. Amen.